Good for the Soul, a short story by Grant Davis. It was in the winter of 1955 that Father Lefebvre passed away. His small room was almost bare, except for a few personal effects and a priest's usual requisites. After showing me the deceased, Father Duchamp covered the face with a linen cloth and coughed politely. "This is not a police matter, surely, Father," I said. "No, you're quite right. Father Lefebvre had been ill for a while, and this weather, well, it's no friend of the elderly." "The doctor has been, then?" "Yes, still, this is not the problem we have. It is most delicate and something I am sure I can trust you with. This is not for the eyes of anyone else, you understand. But, well, I've known you these past 30 years, and I believe your integrity is something beyond question." The elderly priest opened a large chest in the corner of the room and drew out several battered folders and a leather case. "It seems the father was keen on study of sin. It's not something which would have been encouraged here, and such a revelation would prove to be a scandal to the church." He opened two of the folders and the case. One folder contained papers covered with a scrawling cipher I didn't understand. The other folder and leather case were packed with sheets of paper with perfect handwriting. I looked at the paperwork and shrugged. "Let me explain, monsieur," he said to me. "You see, it appears that while Father Lefebvre took confessions, he also wrote down what was said in this shorthand fashion. It was a system of his own devising. Then they were written up most meticulously and placed in this folder and case. It seemed that the father was very keen to study the texts and gain some insight into the way in which sins work. He was quite a scholarly man, though his devotion was never in doubt." "Of course," I agreed. "It would likely outrage many of the congregation if this came to light. I would like you to find a way to have them all burnt. I cannot do this myself without questions being asked, and if asked, I would tell the truth. Better they were simply removed from the room now and disposed of. This kind of thing might excite the curiosity of the cardinal. And that would mean, it would mean an investigation of the most thorough kind, monsieur. The church would come under unwelcome scrutiny by the cardinal. We have nothing to hide, you realise, but it would have an unsettling effect on the novice priests." I nodded in agreement and took the papers home, where I intended to dispose of them on my own fire. When my wife had retired, I took the papers from the folders and leather case and began to screw them up, throwing them into the flames. I had largely completed the task when I found an envelope which contained 3 of the transcribed sheets, dated almost 35 years ago. Not only was the tiny writing precise and legible, it was copiously annotated in the margin, with cross-references and scripture citations. I hadn't intended to read them, but I recognised a name at the head of one sheet, and I laid out the 3 confessions before me. The Confession of Pascal Navi. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. My name is Pascal Navi. I am a chef of some renown working here in Chamilly, in the Copain Bistro. I shall try to remember how it all started, but you must understand that to begin with, I meant no harm to anyone. I now see how wrong it is to manipulate a brother, but this is exactly what I did. You may be familiar with the name of Maurice Carpentier. He owned the lumber factory on the road to Périgueux. My wife worked as his secretary there. Mr. Carpentier was a frequent visitor to my establishment. At first I didn't know who he was, and I provided the same dishes I would serve all diners at the bistro. Then, upon learning he was my wife's boss, I sought to please him, hoping to earn favour and thereby improve my wife's lot at the factory. I then made myself known to him and introduced him to something special that I wasn't offering the other clients. At first, he resisted, but one day I ignored his order and prepared a dish with sauces and viands so rich I could hear angels weeping as he ate it. Clearly impressed, he came the next day and asked what other special meals I could prepare. I surprised him and myself with tender lamb with a pecan pepper sauce and honey-basted bacon strips and a red currant sauce. Monsieur brought out the artist in me, Father. I began to frequent the library to find unusual and exciting recipes. I would request the assistance of other chefs in the province to provide me with fresh new ideas. And after each creation, I would wait anxiously for the arrival of Monsieur Carpentier. Oh, I had better say at this point that Monsieur Carpentier had a young, very attractive wife who I used to see when I went to the market. She was a melancholy woman, seemingly disposed to a very sad demeanour. How such a young beauty came to be so sad is a mystery. However, one day I saw her, and she seemed radiant, fulfilled. You know what I mean, Father? Of course you do. I saw this condition on rare occasions and thought little of it, until I realised that I was the making of her happiness. You see, truffles are not on our menu, but in order to try to reach the Everest of culinary achievements, I would, on occasions, ask for them to be sent from Périgueux, and a young man would cycle to Chamilly to deliver them. After such a meal, that is to say, the next day, I might catch sight of his wife at market, and she was a changed woman, a beauty, bright clothes and a warm smile. I realised that the truffles were waking the man to her needs. But then I did something shameful. When I saw my own wife come home distracted or in despair, I would assume he had been unkind to her, so I would put in an order for truffles to be delivered and make a suitable dish. I would see that his lovely wife was made happy, and maybe with that he would treat my own wife well. But I soon began to relish the power I had over this man's life, Father. I played with his life like it was a musical instrument. I toyed with him. I experimented further with other dishes to see if they too might make him happy or angry or sad or pensive. I lost sight of my original intention, playing with this man like a puppet. For all that, his visits were becoming more frequent. Sometimes he would come in twice a day, dining alone in the evening. Then his visits stopped altogether, and now I hear he is dying from overindulgence. I have sinned. Please forgive me, Father. The Confession of Monsieur Carpentier.
Father, I have sinned terribly. The doctor says this will most likely be my last confession, and I am thankful you made it. I have to confess that for 10 months or more, I have had carnal thoughts about another's wife. Yes, I have coveted. I am ashamed, Father. I am ashamed that I broke such a basic commandment. But you see, there was this woman working for me at the lumber yard as my secretary. She is the wife of the chef at the bistro here in Chamilly. She charmed and delighted me in a way that causes me to blush even when I simply think of her. Even on my deathbed, Father, her loveliness torments me. There is not one thing about her that falls short of perfection. I knew this was wrong, Father, and I fought the desires and temptation. I never gave in, Father, but the longing was always there. Even in her work, she has no equal. She's bright, gifted, and endlessly divine. I should have felt more ashamed in the company of the lady, but I wasn't. I relished every moment. To assuage my feelings of guilt, I began to dine at her husband's restaurant. I wasn't at all bothered what I ate, but the chef began to experiment on me, and I tried to spend more and more on lavish dishes to buy back a clean conscience. The food was probably very good, but it was to me tasteless, like ashes in my mouth. I could never repay this man for the wrong I was doing him, lusting after his own woman. Nevertheless, I began to dream of holding her, running away with her. I soon started to ignore the needs of my pretty young wife and to think constantly about the Madame Navi. Then, to my shame, I composed secret notes in the evening when my wife was in bed, disguising my handwriting and pouring out my feelings. I would tell her how happy we could be. I could see, though, that these anonymous letters were distressing her, so I would purge my guilt with an orgy of eating the next day at her husband's bistro. I tried to battle against my desires. Father, as an act of contrition, I have made Madame Navi a beneficiary of my will. She can have the lumber business. She is more than able to run it. I have provided well for my wife. She is still young and may yet marry again. This whole episode, Father, has cost me my health. The doctor has said another seizure is inevitable and doubts I will see morning. This is all my doing, Father. Forgive me. Give me comfort as I die and redeem me of my sins, I beg of you.
The Confession of Madame Christine Carpentier.
It's been 10 months since my last confession, Father, and I have sinned. I have sinned in the eyes of God and man. Forgive me. My husband, Monsieur Carpentier, is gravely ill, as likely you know. He has been a good man, but very neglectful, Father. He had duties as a husband, and I had my needs. At a very low point, Father, I met Claude Givet, the delivery boy from Périgueux in Chamier Market. We met and talked, and he came to my house to help dispose of a trapped rat. I would never have dreamed of such a thing, Father, but we eventually became lovers. Our trysts were rare. Only when the chef of the bistro ordered truffles would he journey into Chamier to make his delivery on his bicycle. I would pray and pray that the chef would have need of truffles at the bistro and Claude would find his way to my house. I would remain sitting at my window hour after hour, willing Claude to appear, yearning to see that black and yellow bicycle of his. Eventually we fell in love, and though it was wrong, I couldn't stop myself. Now my husband is dying and I feel so ashamed. Please forgive me, Father.
The blazing of paper in the hearth was now burning low. With the exception of these three confessions in my lap, I had burnt everything as I had been requested. For some reason, the old priest had put these three confessions together, whether as part of his research or for his amusement, I couldn't say. I knew it was wrong, as I had promised the old priest to burn all the papers, but these I couldn't destroy. I would keep them and their memories, along with my old black and yellow bicycle, and my own dear wife of 30 years, the former widow Carpentier. That was Good for the Soul, a short story by Grant Davis.